God, you are so valuable. And God wants to bless your life and use you in a great, wonderful way. And it's as much as you are yielded and you are clean and you, that you are usable by God for God to get glory. So if you would, let's go to Genesis chapter 2 quickly. And in Genesis chapter 2, we have the beginning of what we call the family. In Genesis chapter 2, beginning of verse 20, Genesis 2:20, and Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a help meet for him or apt for him or fit for him. Verse 21, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh there instead thereof. Verse 22, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And the man said, woo, woo. You weren't there, but we can suppose. Verse 23, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. The beginning of the first earthly family. In chapter 4, look at chapter 4. Notice the first two verses there. Genesis 4, verse 1, and Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. All children are from God. Gifts from God. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So here we have the first family, a divinely instituted physical earthly family, and all members were equally important, though differing in their position and their roles. That is the way it is for a human family. There's a father, the mother, and the children. And they have respective roles, but not one is more important than the other in the eyes of God. You see, they're all of great value, see? And that applies to the church, the spiritual family. Now, the church family is also a divine institution. It started with 12 that Jesus selected, and then they were empowered on Pentecost, and that the church continues today. Now, there is a family of God. Some have gone, some are still here. Visibly, they are all separate entities, small families, so to speak, of God. And this is a family divinely instituted by God and will be, the church will continue until the rapture. Jesus said, I will build my church. And this family is made up of a bunch of different people. Now, we had 6 children, and every one of them was different. Mom's different, dad's different, we're all different personalities, whatnot. Some mirror a little bit the others and whatnot. But all different, all of equal value. Differing roles. The same here in our church family. Now, we won't take time to read this morning, but do go to Luke chapter 15. In Luke chapter 15, we have the parable of the lost son. And I note this because of this reason. Here we have a family. We have a father and 2 sons that are noted throughout this story. We're not going to take time to read the story. Most of you are familiar with this story and how one of the sons, the younger one, took his inheritance from dad and I'm out of here, and off he went to another country and wasted all the money. But how that at one point it got so bad that he reflected and he came to his right mind and he determined that he would go back to his father. The father in this story represents God the Father. And we're his children. And whether we like it or not, we're like the prodigal son. We mess up. But it never changes the love of your father for you. You have an important role in this family. And in that story also is noted the brother, who totally different, stood by dad, stayed with dad through all the years that the boy squandered. The boy comes back, dad loves, gives a party. He's jealous. I'm telling you, every family has problems in the family. There's no such thing as a perfect family because it's made up of imperfect people. Now, if you apply biblical principles to your family, things go much better. Sweetness by God's design. The same thing applies to the church family. When we apply the truths of the Word of God. Now, let's just take a minute and look at these people. The prodigal son, he was self-centered. Look at verse 12. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods. Give who? Me, self-centered. He was sinful, verse 13. Notice at the end of the verse, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Wasteful, verse 13. It said wasted. Was finally in want, verse 14. It says, and he began to be in want, you see, because all of those things don't last forever. And truly, verse 17 gives us the this idea that he was really out of his mind. Because it says in verse 17, when he came to himself, that's when he came to understand, when he came and he got his right mind from all that he was living, how he lived for self, and he determined, I'm going back to my father. He was messed up, but he made a good decision, and he went back to his father. He became reasonable. Verse 18, I will arise and go to my father. And he became repentant. Verse 18, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, he was going to tell his father. Verse 19, he became humble. And I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Let me tell you, as far as his son went away from his father, he came back, humbled himself, and got right. What a wonderful thing. No wonder dad threw a party. See? And whether it's extravagant that somebody leaves the church family, when they return, it's a time of celebration. Because the father loves them. The family is to embrace them and love on them. God forgives them as they have humbled and repented. The prodigal son, the father, he was industrious. Notice verse 12. This speaks of our God, you see. But here, the younger said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that fallen, and he divided them his living. In other words, he had developed much. He owned much. And he had servants, so he had much. He was compassionate. Verse 20. Remember when the boy did come back. And he arose, verse 20, came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and him compassionate on him. Picture of our loving father. Though we have gone astray. In returning with a humble, repentant spirit. And he was affectionate. It says he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. He was forgiving, verses 21 and 22. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. 22. But the father said to the servants, bring me an axe. I'm taking off his hand. It's not what a father says. It's not what a father does. Bring forth the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. We're gonna celebrate my son who was gone, but he's back. And he was thankful. 24, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and he began to make merry. He was thankful. What a wonderful picture of a father. Father like you and I should be to our children. Loving, forgiving, providing. Because that's a picture of our God. But there's a third member in this family mentioned. There was the elder son. In verse 25, he was good. He was a worker. And now his elder son was in the midst of the field, and he came and drew nigh to the house. He was a worker out in the field. He was faithful. Verse 29. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee. Faithful. He was obedient. Verse 29 continues. Neither transgressed I at any time thy commandments. He was obedient. He was a worker. He was faithful. But all these good accolades, he's just as imperfect. He was jealous. Verse 29, he said, Thou never gavest me a kid. Amen? And immature. Jealous and immature. Verse 28 says, he was angry and would not go in. No, I won't. I won't. I don't know how old the guy is. But age doesn't matter. You can be just as jealous and discontent. And immature. And I'm telling you that every family has its weaknesses and its strengths. And if it follows God's plans and principles, everything comes together and there's love and nurturing and strength in spite of the mixed little issues at times. And the same applies for the church family. We're made up of imperfect people, imperfect families, you see. But how do we live? How do we work together? How do we come together? Well, let's demonstrate it this morning. We all love Jesus. We all want to hear his word and follow his word and apply it. We all want to become mature. And in spite of our weaknesses and strengths all over the room, every one of us has weaknesses and strengths. We are all of equal value in the eyes of the Lord. This family matters to God. And we're to work together. Can you identify with either one of these two sons? You got these strengths. Did good. But also had failures. Well, we're all human. But we have a picture of a God, a Heavenly Father, who is merciful and forgiving. And he wants to cause our family to unite and delight in one another. So, number one, we're to share together. Share the joys. Yes, we share tears at times, but we share joy. We share victories. That's what we're going to do today. That's what we are doing today. Celebrating what God has done in this place. Celebrate what God has done in a particular family and what he's doing with that family. We rejoice. There's also tears to be shared. At time we cry. Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. So we do. You know why? We're family. We care one for another. So we share together. We grow together spiritually, numerically. Each one's to reach one. You know, I'm touched in how in John 1, early, when Jesus getting baptized and in 1 verse 40 and 41, it speaks of one of the two which heard John speak, John the Baptist, and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first, what? Findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. So this family begins to grow. See, verse 45, Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. You see, we grow numerically and spiritually when we, as mature believers, share with others about Jesus. We share the gospel. We pass out tracts that the family might grow to the glory of God. But it takes one, reaching another, with the joy that's in your own life, your own heart, winning people to Jesus, telling them whom you found. Share together, grow together, work together. And by the way, one of the work is working with each other regarding this matter of unity. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, or beg you, Paul is saying, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. In other words, like the Christian you're to be, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. You see, this is the love that's experienced in a family, which, bless God, we have had for these many years. And I'm so thankful for it. Verse 3 says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavoring implies that there's some work at it. Sometimes it doesn't come natural. See? But we work at it humbly and with meekness, caring one for another, that the family is strengthened in its bond and more effective and able to be used of God. So we share together, we grow together, we work together. Two more, we play together. You know what we're doing today? We're going to play together. We're going to enjoy one another. The potlucks that we enjoy. Even as we work, like VBS, the family comes together. It's playtime, but it's work time. All these things we enjoy. The prime timers, they're going to play a little. Fellowship that's enjoyed one with another. Oh yeah, there's playtime. That's part of it. There's work time, there's play time, share time, grow time. And there's pray time. Now we pray a little each service, but on Thursday night we have a prayer service. We come and we study the Word of God and then we pray. We're to pray together as a church family. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. That means talk to me without stopping. God, the Father, wants to communicate with us. In the prodigal, we have the picture of the father running to the son, seeing him afar off. They're running to each other. Then he embraces, falls on his neck and kisses his son. It's a picture of God, you and I. In spite of our imperfections. And now this party. They killed the fatted calf. They were going to celebrate. There's times of celebration, times of playing, and there's times of praying. Thursday night, we pray together. I encourage you to come together on Thursday night, all the services, that we might pray as a family. We are family. And the key ingredient is love. Divine love, godly love. So church family, love one another. Stay humble. Serve God. Serve one another. Today there's much cause for celebration. We'll rejoice with one another. Let's get along with one another and do something for God in this coming year, in this place, and at the Bible Baptist in Wiscasset. Collectively, all these church families are one, but serving the same God. You know what? We're going to spend eternity together. And there'll be no problems, there'll be no sin, no struggles. You know the Olive Garden, their phrase, when you hear your family? Indeed, we are family, made up of a bunch of families and individuals, but we work together as one. Let's bow our heads. With heads bowed, eyes closed this morning, just a short time of invitation when one might want to respond to God, thanking him for being the God, the Father, the Heavenly Father that he is. Or perhaps acknowledging some weaknesses the Holy Spirit may perhaps have brought out this morning that need to be repented of. That we turn back to our God and say, Lord, Father, Heavenly Father, forgive me and restore me. And our Heavenly, forgiving, merciful Father will. I don't know what your need is this morning. Perhaps you're here today as the piano's playing softly during this time of invitation. By the way, step out any time if you want to pray at the altar. Or pray where you're at. But if you're here today and you're not what the Bible calls born again. Now Jesus said, you must be born again. If he said it, then you must be born again. You must be saved. Are you saved this morning? Do you know for sure that if you died in the next minute, you'd go to heaven? The certainty is available. The Bible says that if we believe that we would know we have eternal life. These things have I written unto you. That's the Bible. So the Word of God says, come to God with sorrow in your heart over your sins. Believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay your sin debt and invite him to forgive you and to come into your life to be your Savior. That's what the Bible calls being born again. It's not church membership. You don't get baptized to be saved. You don't join a church to be saved. In fact, there's nothing you can do to be saved but believe. Believe and receive. You repent of your sin before a holy God and place your faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus, what he did on the cross of Calvary. My friend, if you're here today and you've not been saved, say this prayer to God. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. The Bible says so. And I know that the penalty of sin is an eternity in hell. The Bible says that too. But I also see in the Bible where it says, you love me. And that love was so great, you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus, to the cross. He suffered the agony and pain of crucifixion. Indeed, he suffered the hell that I deserve for my sins, yet he never sinned. He was my substitute. He did it my place. I believe that. And dear Jesus, right now I ask you to forgive me of all my sins and save my soul. I trust and believe in you. Amen. I trust you said that prayer. You know, the Bible says you're saved, born again. If you said that prayer and meant it in your heart, tell somebody. Tell somebody today, hey, I got saved today. I trusted Jesus, my Savior. Tell me, I'd love to hear it. And Christian, how you evaluate yourself? Quickly, we address several points in a very fast message, but evaluate yourself as a family member of your own home. What good or what other areas might be need to be addressed in your life, your contribution, who you are. And then in your church family, ask Lord to forgive any weaknesses or any mistakes made, but thank Him for all that He's given you in a family. And pledge to God, make new resolve that I'm going to serve with all my heart, my word, my life. I'm going to serve my God and be a blessing to my family. As the music's playing, the invitation is open. Another minute or two, you and Jesus.